glad to have you along with us here for our first Live at 5 sermon series for the year 2021. Nothing will change from the way we were doing them as time has permitted in the previous year, except the simple fact it is a new calendar year. We'll be preaching the same gospel. In fact, I've never quit preaching the same gospel because I only preach according to Thus Saith the Lord. And since Live at 5 rhymes, I guess we won't really change the name of that either. My name is Justin Reed. I'm honored that you have stumbled across this. If you're wondering what we're doing, we're going to have a lesson from God's Word here in just a moment. But I am sharing this to the Facebook page for the Wood Church of Christ. That is where I am honored to be the pulpit minister there. I have been there since March the 4th, 2012. The good Lord, He truly is good. I'm going to just simply title this Live at 5. Now that that has shared, we can continue with our announcements and we will begin our lesson here literally in about a minute. That's all that we have left. I do hope that you have had a good new year so far. I'm always looking forward to something new to a degree. I don't like too many things. I like to know if I'm about to experience something new. But the new year, I am excited to see how God will use this year for His benefit. I have seen a lot of people saying good riddance to 2020, and although there were some stressful moments and some scary moments, I tell you what, I grew as a Christian. I feel like I grew as a public speaker, and I hope that you can find some positive things. In fact, one of the positive things, although we're not physically in the building tonight, but you and I are having a chance to study God's Word in this format. I don't know if we would have had this had some of the events of 2020 not taken place, but I am looking forward to the time when we can all safely be together for long periods of time, studying God's Word, fellowshipping, and the like. I'm going to go ahead and call it because we've got about 20 seconds left and we will click over to the top of the hour. We are live right at 5 o'clock tonight. Well, let me back up. Last week, if you missed that lesson, see there's 5. Last week, if you missed that lesson, it's archived online just like everything is. Just scroll back in the videos. We talked about a sermon on Ecclesiastes 3, and if you remember last year, I know it was a long time ago, last Sunday night was last year, but friends, if you remember last year, when we were talking about the simple fact that we studied Ecclesiastes 3, we came to the conclusion, biblically speaking, there are things that are simply out of our control, and I said if we made it through the new year onto tonight, we would talk about how God is in control. So that's where I want us to spend our time and effort and attention here this evening. I put one of my favorite verses from the book of John down here as our scripture text. John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus Christ is reminding His disciples here in John 14, 15-16, that great discourse. He will pray in the 17th chapter, but this great discourse before He is betrayed of how He's in control, how He's already won the battle, so to speak. We just must live faithful to Him. Friends, tonight, let's talk about how God is in control. Let me ask you a question. It being winter time now, have you ever been out on an icy road? Maybe you didn't realize a storm was going to come through, and at the time you were at school or at work or at an appointment, and in the time you were in there, you came out and the roads were just a solid sheet of ice and it's snowing. Maybe it's starting to get dark. You ever been out in a situation like that? You ever been driving and you start slipping and sliding? I tell you what, few things are worse than that feeling. There was a time a few years ago, Sarah and I were on our way to church, and we started hydroplaning, and we spun 360 degrees one way, 360 the other, then 180 another way. We were facing the other way. I tell you what, one of the scariest times in my life. No driving experience I have been through has been worse than that. Well, friends, I say all that to say this. We may take comfort in the fact that I'm not in control, but I tell you what, God is. The forces of the road, nature is deceiving, is unforgiving. Yet God is in control, friends. God is never surprised. Nothing ever happens and God just kind of stands back, however you want to picture him, there on his throne and goes, I didn't see that coming. No, friends. God's never surprised. God is also never unprepared. He's never overcome and he's never waylaid. He's never just taken aghast, taken aback. Friends, if you serve a God that is surprised, unprepared, overcome, or waylaid, you're not serving the God of the Bible. Because God is never unprepared. And we just read what Jesus said, and Jesus is God in the flesh, John 1:1 and verse 14. And he said, I've already overcome the world, so God's never overcome. Tonight I want us to look at four areas, specifically, where God is in control. Four areas that we could draw a circle around, we could identify that God is in control. I hope you have your copy of God's Word handy. The references will be projected here next to me for us to use, but we're going to turn to God's Word. This is not going to be Justin Reed's opinion, friends. This is going to be what God has said. Number one, God is in control when wars rage, or when the wicked cause great harm. Maybe another title for that. When wars rage, or when the wicked cause a great harm. Let's go to the book of Daniel, the Old Testament prophet of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Verses 32 through 37. Now, if you remember the book of Daniel, Daniel and his friends are plucked up out of their homeland, thrown into Babylonian captivity. Daniel says, I will not eat of the king's meat, and his friends, they prosper. Daniel interprets a dream, chapter 2. Chapter 3, we have the events of the fiery furnace. Chapter 4 is another dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. And we see that God is going to turn Nebuchadnezzar literally into a wild beast. He is going to be crazy. But we see that God rules, friends, in the kingdoms of men. Go with me to Daniel 4, 32 through the end of the chapter. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. See, God's talking to Nebuchadnezzar. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, did eat grass as oxen, his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till the hairs were grown out like eagle feathers, and his nails looked like birds' claws. At the end of the days, Nebuchadnezzar speaking, he says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes to heaven. Mine understanding returned unto me. I blessed the Most High, praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, his kingdom from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me. For the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors, my Lord, sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. See, Nebuchadnezzar, friends, thought he was high and mighty. God showed him he was low and pitiful. God rules in the kingdoms of men. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, because even wicked rulers may be doing God's bidding. Now, this may be hard for us to fathom, because we don't see the whole picture. We are in a small slice, a small sliver, if you will. But friends, even wicked rulers may be doing the bidding of God. Let's go to Isaiah 10 and verse number 5 is where we will be beginning. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil, to take the prey, to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few, for he saith, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno as Carmakish? Not Hamath as Arpad? Not Samaria as Damascus? As my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? Wherefore, it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks, for he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. I have removed the bounds of the people, and robbed their treasures, and have put the inhabitants down like a valiant man. My hand hath found as a nest the riches of people, as one garnereth the eggs that are left. I have gathered all the earth. There was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peep. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith, or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it, or the rod shake itself lifted up, as the staff would lift it up if there were no wood? God is saying, where is your honor? Friends, the entire Old Testament is filled with God using wicked rulers, the king of Assyria, the king of Babylon, of Pharaoh even, to do his bidding. And you may be saying, well, see, that's God working out his will. And we see these rulers, they just said, well, look at me, I'm so good, I'm so done, I've done this, I've done that. Their favorite preposition is I, my, and me. Or pronoun, excuse me, I, my, and me. Even the wicked are doing God's bidding. Friends, I want you to notice something. When God is in control, when wars are raging, or when the wicked cause great harm, God might even move the mightiest nation on earth to move a few miles. We'll just look at Luke's passage on this one. I think that will suffice us so we can move on to our second point. What am I talking about? Well, you see, God had to get his son to have an earthly birth in Bethlehem. But in order to do that, he had to have a certain kingdom or a certain family line, the family line of the Herods, in power. So they would want to do a census, more or less, about the time that Jesus was to be born. See, Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time have come, Jesus Christ was born of the law, born of a woman under the law, excuse me. It's all like pieces in a lock, tumblers in a lock, fitting together. Notice this. And it came to pass, Luke 2:1, in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up to Galilee, from Galilee to the city of Nazareth, to Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, a lot of people have probably read that passage the past couple of weeks. Do you realize what God's doing? God's moving nation here, and God is moving nation there to make things line up so this decree could come out, so that Joseph and Mary would come from their home. They would come into Bethlehem, oh, right at the time it is time for her to deliver a child. Friends, God is in control when the wars are raging and when the wicked are causing great harm. But number two tonight, God is in control when the wolf is at the door. Two passages, I'll just go ahead and put them up so we can run the references together. Let's go to the book of Psalms. The 50th Psalm is where we will be spending our time here tonight. See, God is in control when the wolf is at the door, when things look crazy around us. Psalm 50, verse 10, it is a psalm of Asaph. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. See, in other words, God's saying, I have all these flock, I have all these sheep everywhere, and I know each one, and I know where they are. And I know when the wolf is going to come and try to get them, and I will make sure that the shepherd there is ready. Of course, John 10, we learn that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep, and his sheep are known by him. Friends, that wolf's at the door. But I want you to notice this in Psalm 37 and verse 25. God never forsakes those that are righteous. Psalm 37, 25. I have been young, the psalmist says, David says here, and I am now old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor have I seen his seed begging bread. David is evidently in the latter part, in the twilight of his life, and when he writes this psalm, he says, I have been young, and I am now old, and I have never seen God forsake the righteous. He says, now I've seen a lot of things, but I have not seen the righteous forsaken. What about Matthew 6:33? Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What are all these things? The things that you're lacking. The things that he has been talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. See, Jesus says if you make a priority, and this would be a great thought for the new year, friends, and every day, every year of our life, if we make Jesus the Christ first in our lives, if we seek him first and his righteousness, everything else lines up. And remember, if we're doing our best to be righteous, God never forsakes the righteous. Now, I'm going to take it because it's the inspired word of God, but I also know a lot about the life and heart of David. He's seen a lot of men, and he's never seen the righteous be forsaken. Friends, God's in control when the wolf's at the door, when it looks like maybe harm's going to befall us. God is in control. God knows what's going on. Another area of our life where God is in control, friends, is when our neighbor gets the best of us. Although it may be hard to fathom, friends, God's in control when our neighbor gets the best of us. Let's think about David. We've been talking about him a lot in our lesson here tonight. Let's ponder him a little bit more. Now, David had a lot of wives, and that wound up to be a lot of problems for him. I will just leave that thought there. Suffice that to be that complete thought for tonight, because I'm not teaching on the morality of that, but he had too many wives, and we'll move on. One of his wives, Michal, her daddy was Saul, the king of Israel. Saul found out that David was to be his successor. See, Saul had messed up in 1 Samuel 15. We'll get to that passage probably here in a minute. Because he sacrificed before Samuel got there because he was being impatient. He apparently had other things to go do than obey God. Well, he realizes that his family lineage will not carry on the throne. And a man after God's own heart, David, is chosen. And so for years, David has to be on the run from his father-in-law because his father-in-law wants to kill him. And on a handful of occasions, two we could talk about right now off the top of my head, David could have killed Saul. One time he snips off part of his garment and then says, I could have killed you, but I didn't. Yet, David has done nothing wrong against Saul. Yet in the end, friends, Saul is dead. He dies in battle. David becomes the king of Israel. See, David knew where to put his hope, his faith, and his trust. He knew that it belonged in the Almighty God of heaven, the God, same God that we serve, friends. I want us to look here. We're going to read Psalm 37. Now, it's got 40 verses, and I'm a fast reader, but let's read this. And let's point out in our minds as we go through this how, friends, that God is in control even when our neighbor gets the best of us. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospered in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out their sword, and bent their bow, cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be as of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their heart, their bows shall be broken. A little that is a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken. But the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, for their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the day of the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and am now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, and he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. I lost count of how many times God said he blesses the righteous and he punishes the wicked. Friends, God's in control when your neighbor gets the best of you. In fact, the ultimate statement of God's control, you might say, is found in Revelation 21. Revelation 21, starting in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There's no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for all the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto thee, Unto me it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my people. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Friends, God's ultimate statement of control, he's even removed everything sad and bad. Why? The former things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. God is in control when our neighbor gets the best of us. And God pronounces his sentence. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Finally here tonight. God is in control, friends, when the devil has won the world to sin. Which it looks like he has. Why? Because God has a plan. Christ died for you and me. For scarcely, Paul writes in Romans 5, For scarcely would a man die, yet for a righteous man, peradventure. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. When I was a sinner, Christ died for me. Friends, there is eternal life found through Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:33. But eternal life is the gift of God. It comes through Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, that's only through Christ. It's not through Muhammad or Joseph Smith or Alexander Campbell or any other name, not even through the Pope. Friends, but only through Jesus Christ. Why? Because the gospel, Romans 1:16, Paul says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Power, same English word, or Greek word, dynamo, we get dynamite, we get TNT. Friends, God's word is powerful, and it's effective. Let's look at that list of people in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Notice there, used to be 10 times, but you were washed. Such were some of you. Were, past tense, were, underline it, key word in that verse. Washed, sanctified, justified through Jesus Christ. Friends, God's in control, because when the devil has won the world to sin, he has a plan. Look at this awful list of sins. Paul says to those in Corinth, You used to be this way, but thanks be to God, that's your old life, your new life, you're different. And friends, we see it is for the remission of sins. That passage in Matthew 26:28, Jesus Christ is instituting the Lord's Supper on what would be Thursday night. He's getting ready to be tried. That's at the Last Supper. He says, This blood is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. There, Acts 2:28, Acts 2:38, repent. Why? For the remission of sins. Acts 22:16, Ananias tells Paul, And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Friends, when the devil has won the world to sin, God has a plan. That means that God is in control. That means that God sent Jesus Christ to redeem us from sin, because the people in 1 Corinthians 6 were living a sinful worldly life. Well, they used to be. Now they've been washed, sanctified, justified. Christ died for you. Christ died for me. Friends, God is in control. Sometimes we feel like feathers out there in a hurricane. We're just blown over here and blown over there. Maybe that's how you felt most of last year. I want you to know something, though, friends. Our hope, or excuse me, our faith and our hope, we're grounded on a firm, sure, a good foundation. Because God's in control. He's in control when the wars rage, or when the wicked are causing us great harms. He's in control, friends, when the wolf's at the door. He's in control when your neighbor gets the best of you. And friends, God's in control when the devil has won the world to sin, because God has a plan for saving man. If you have not yielded to that plan, let me encourage you, start 2021 winning for Christ or with Christ. You do that by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Go in that watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not done that, I would love to assist you in that. I'd love to study with you, or maybe point you to put you in contact with somebody closer to you if we don't live close geographically. I know a lot of good Christians all over the world. I'd be honored if you'd send me a message, reach out with me. I would love to help you with that. If you have done that. You need to remain faithful in death. Revelation 2:10, receive that crown of life. If you've not been living faithful, friends, why not repent of that sin and begin the new year living faithful to God? I hope this lesson has been as beneficial to you as it has been to me. I will encourage you, if you need a copy of these notes, my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible resources, or you can Google my name, Justin, or EED Bible. Click on the Bible Resources page, and then the sermon's alphabetical, so G for God is in control. Would you please share this video so that others can figure out, because people are trying to figure out, well, what do I do in this life? Well, they need to turn to God. Maybe sharing this video could help somebody do that. A couple of upcoming studies. We will finish the book of Acts, Lord willing, this Wednesday night with Zealous Toward God, Part 3, Acts 28. That'll be at 6:30 here, Central Standard Time on Facebook. Also, the plans are as of now to resume our Thursday night Bible study, since it's January, with my father-in-law Bill Boyd. We're in Matthew 22, and that will be Thursday night at 6:30. Also, go ahead and invite you Sunday morning at 11 o'clock in the building at the Wood Church Christ, 99 Silent Park Road, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. We'll talk about the phrase, "Be not deceived." I do appreciate your attentiveness. I hope this lesson has been beneficial. I know it certainly has been for me. I pray that you will have a good week, and I pray that you will submit to God's will, always being reminded that God is in control. Thank you for watching. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for watching.